All right, I think we will go ahead and get started with the afternoon session, again with the goal and commitment to get everyone out on time at 3:30 this afternoon. So what I'd like to do for the next half an hour or so is give an update on the QI component of MPOG. Most importantly, I want to keep most of you awake after just having had lunch and dessert until we get to our excellent keynote presentations for this afternoon. I'll spend a little bit of time on what we did last year, and then the rest of the time on some of our plans for next year on behalf of the entire quality improvement team. For those of you that don't know me, I'm Nirav Shah, the quality improvement director at MPOG. Disclosures, no personal consulting, financial conflicts with any company. I am a co-investigator on projects that receive grant funding from Blue Cross Blue Shield for the anesthesia QI component, Apple, NIH, and Edwards Life Sciences. I've had the pleasure today of meeting many sites that either are just starting their process with implementing MPOG or thinking about it or somewhere in the process. If you haven't already come up to either myself or Kate Bueller or Sachin or Tori or one of us at the coordinating center, please do so before you leave. Would love to connect with you and make sure that the implementation is going as you expect, and we're doing everything that we can here at the coordinating center to help you as you begin your MPOG journey. So in thinking a little bit about MPOG QI, I think most of you have probably now many times seen the MPOG slide that we have, where we show you how MPOG is the mixture of the research component and the QI, that Venn diagram. As we start to think about, the QI component, I think about it in a couple of different ways, especially across all of our sites. One is the duration of participation for sites with MPOG QI is varied. There are sites that have just joined. There are sites that have been with us from the beginning when we started this journey in 2014 or 2015. There is a significant variation in the QI infrastructure that exists at each site to support anesthesia quality improvement. For some of our hospitals, MPOG and the QI data that we provide is the predominant form of quality improvement. For other hospitals, it's just a slice of what they do from a QI or QA perspective. Patrick, Dr. McCormick mentioned sort of the relevance of measures. Again, some sites focus on a certain subgroup of measures. Other sites focus on other subgroups. Some believe in some of the measures, some don't. Some are passionate about some of them. Some aren't, and so we see a significant amount of variation in that across all of our sites as well. Different levels of departmental support or the ability to support either from a technical or a clinical perspective. We have sites that get emails. We have sites that don't get emails. We have sites that get a varied number of measures on the emails, which is now, again, in a response to a point that Patrick brought up earlier, sites can choose which measures show up on their emails, and so there's variation in that across sites. And of course, there are sites that are where their providers are participating in the MOCA Part 4 collaboration with the ABA, and sites that aren't. And so, like, this sort of varied terrain across all of our sites and in their participation with MPOG QI, I think, kind of supports the movement or the intention that we've had over the last couple years within MPOG to provide the tools necessary for you to engage with MPOG QI in the way that you are comfortable or the way that makes sense for your institution, that we provide data on certain types of process measures, outcome measures, on the variation, but that we don't necessarily always have to rally around a single quality measure or a single process or single outcome measure. And I think that's sort of what the theme that you'll see as I go through some of the things that we've done in the past year, and most importantly, some of our plans for the future as well. And so I wanted to briefly go over some of the new measures that we've released in 2019, hopefully to get you interested and engaged in them. Wanted to start with the sustainability measure. We heard a great talk from Jody earlier today. SUS01 is the first sustainability measure, hopefully definitely not the last, within MPOG. Really, we want to see, again, is there an opportunity to deliver halogenated agents or nitrous oxide more efficiently across MPOG? And by measuring our fresh gas flows less than 3 liters per minute between intubation and extubation. And copying a slide that Jody showed earlier, where across MPOG we see a significant amount of variation in the delivery of fresh gas flow across all of our sites. And so definitely an area where if sites want to focus on, I think there's room for improvement. What's also interesting, this is the one-year trend, really not much change in performance across sites. And so not an area that sites actually are, at least as far as we can tell, really working on right now. And so hopefully based on the talk by Jody and other ways in which we're sort of channeling this message, that it starts to become a priority among your sites and then another area for you to focus on. That's sustainability. We just released BPO3. BPO3 looks at hypotension as defined as a MAP of 65 for a cumulative duration of 15 minutes or more. So when you remember, our first BPOE measure looked at a MAP of 55 for a cumulative time of 20 minutes or more. I think 4 years ago when we first released that measure, we wanted to make sure we picked a threshold and a number where there was broad agreement, where no one could really say that anything beyond that was would be considered improper practice. I think 4 years now after, I think we can start to set the bar a little bit higher and also maybe be a little bit more in line with how folks are practicing, with what you're telling your residents and trainees and the discussions that you're having with your nurse anesthetist about MAP thresholds and durations. And so BPO3 reflects that. It's also very similar to a measure that's currently being developed by the Cleveland Clinic in conjunction with Mathematica and Edwards Life Sciences as well. Of note for us, it includes largely the same inclusion and exclusion criteria as BPO1. So it's really, for us, largely a change in the threshold and the duration of hypotension. And compared to BPO1, where we see very little variation across sites and largely 99% performance across the vast majority of sites, we do see a little bit of variation across all of our sites in compliance, looking at a MAP of 65 for a cumulative duration of 15 minutes or more. And so again, maybe an opportunity for those sites that would like to focus on hemodynamic measurement. PONV03, so postoperative nausea and vomiting. This is the first measure which looks at PACU data for us. We're so super excited about the sites that are contributing PACU data. This is the percentage of patients where we have documented occurrence of nausea or emesis in the PACU or who have received a rescue antiemetic. Basically looking at sort of standard definitions of PONV that we found in the literature. Unfortunately, the benchmarking here doesn't tell us a whole lot. Still currently, only a handful of sites are submitting PACU data, and this is a bit of a call and request for sites who are already on Import Manager to start sending PACU data to us if you are not right now. And for those of you that are still on the legacy version of the extract, to consider migrating that to Import Manager and making the investments that we know that it takes. And as we've set up a session afterward at 3:30 that Kate Bueller will be leading for sites that are interested in moving to Import Manager. And so it would be great next year if the majority of sites in some way or another are delivering enough PACU information where we can start to not only flesh out this PONV03 measure and start to have real benchmarking across all of our MPOG sites, but potentially get into other areas where it'd be interesting to look at PACU data and analyze PACU data as well. We finally released Transfer of Care 01, which looks at intraoperative handoffs years after we released Transfer of Care 02 and 03, which are ICU and PACU handoff measures. Transfer of Care 01 looks at the percentage of cases in which a permanent transfer of care has happened between an incoming and an outgoing anesthesia provider, and looks for documentation of a checklist or protocol of that transfer of care. It is sort of falls under a little bit of that sort of check the box measure, in that it doesn't really ascertain the quality of the handoff between the incoming and outgoing provider, just the fact that one's been documented. But, you know, kind of interesting to see the variation in documentation, where it looks like, you know, the majority of sites tend not to document anything about an intraoperative handoff. And, you know, I certainly think that that's just from anecdotal experience in my own institution, an area that we could definitely focus on, especially for, you know, longer cases with sicker patients. So those are the measures that I wanted to talk about. You know, a lot of work from not only the sites that propose these measures and approve them at the quality committee, but definitely from the coordinating center, statisticians, the programmers, the quality coordinators that help steward this measure and really do all the legwork and the hard work of building the specs, validating the measures, and then releasing it to the dashboard. So I want to thank everyone for their efforts for over the past year for that. This is not a measure, but I think really important. Sachin talked a little bit about this earlier. You know, we finally released our CPT prediction phenotype, and just as a reminder, an MPOG terminology, a phenotype, those are the data building blocks by which we create measures. We take the concepts that we have, clean the concepts up, bundle them together to create phenotypes that are usable as building blocks for not only measures but for research as well. The CPT prediction phenotype, which you know, was developed by Mike Burns, John Van de Vest, and others on our team, generates an anesthesia code, an anesthesia CPT code, based on the procedure text and machine learning algorithms. And the reason I'm mentioning it is that this, I think, is a inflection point in the timeliness of measure performance delivery for us. Most of our measures depend on the anesthesia CPT code for exclusion criteria, and because there's a delay between when we get the EHR data and the prophy data that contains the anesthesia codes, the measure performance would sort of update or change as the prophy data started to come in from the sites. What the CPT prediction phenotype does is generates an anesthesia CPT code for us at the same time that the EHR data is submitted, and so our measure performance is much less likely to change over time as we start to backfill the prophy data with the anesthesia CPT codes. And so it's, you know, tremendously useful for us on from a QI perspective in providing a timely feedback. It enables more accurate inclusion exclusions, and we do, as an FYI, we do replace it with the submitted prophy data once sites submit that as well. I do want to note that as a sort of a next step, you know, based on feedback and the utility of surgical CPT codes, you want to start to apply some of the same analytical techniques to generating surgical CPT codes as well, to really start to define the specific procedures that are being performed. I want to highlight some new partnerships that are specifically meant to extend the QI mission. One is with the Michigan Society of Anesthesiologists. Roy Soto is an anesthesiologist and MPOG member from Beaumont, helped spearhead that. Also with the Michigan Association of Nurse Anesthetists as well. And both of those partnerships were meant really to extend the reach of MPOG beyond sites that are able to join. And so what we found, you know, as part of our mission, QI mission within the state of Michigan, is that, you know, that it is very likely that many hospitals in Michigan for the foreseeable future will not be able to participate in MPOG either because of technical resource limitations or other limitations either at the coordinating center level or at the site level. We wanted to sort of still try and provide some quality improvement information to those sites as well. And so we've used these partnerships with both the MSA and MANA to deliver information about measure details, about measure specifications, about benchmark performance across Michigan sites, about the evidence behind the measures through the newsletters for both the MSA as well as MANA as a way to sort of extend the reach. It's been a pretty exciting development so that sites that are not necessarily submitting data on a monthly basis can still provide their anesthesia practitioners with some data about MPOG measures. And it doesn't allow them to have emails or participate in MOCA, but it is, I think, a step in the right direction. At a more granular, more data level, our partnership with the Michigan Society of Michigan Surgical Quality Collaborative has enabled us to merge anesthesia process of care data with outcomes data that are being collected by trained nurse abstractors at each of the MSQC sites around Michigan. We're able to combine that data and then provide feedback to Michigan hospitals on outcomes for the cases that are sampled by MSQC, and they largely sample general surgery cases like colectomies, vascular surgery, hysterectomies. And so we've merged the data, started to tease out the outcomes that MSQC provides, and are now building the infrastructure to share outcomes data for those specific case types. It would be fantastic to do that at a national level with data that we're able to collect from STS and NISQIP and other registries as well. We've been able to move a little bit ahead at Michigan with combining this data, and look forward to sharing some of those results with you. We started using MQORC as a quality improvement tool. So for those of you that participated in the Enhanced Observational Study from a couple years ago, that was the first introduction of MQORC into MPOG sites. It allows, MQORC enables sites to conduct audits and surveys at a case level and then link it to an MPOG case ID subsequently. This year in 2019, we've already had approximately 2,000 PACU handoffs across 20 hospitals within the state of Michigan, which comes out to about 10 per month per hospital. And we're actually starting to get pretty interesting data on the quality of handoffs across Michigan hospitals, like whether or not when handoffs are occurring, is there an introduction of all the players in the handoffs? Are you talking about allergies or antibiotics administered during the case? Which I think we can largely inform QI efforts to help improve the quality of handoffs, and we've seen some of those examples at some of our local meetings within the state of Michigan. We would love to release MQORC, and it is available to any site around the country to use, not just for PACU handoffs, but if you're interested in other surveys that may be of interest to MPOC sites at large. And so we can pretty easily develop audits within surveys within MQORC. There's a process to link it to the MPOG case as well, so that we can start to feedback information at a case and at a site level, and we can start to do some benchmarking on things that we may be interested in outside of the EHR. We released our latest toolkit, Surgical Site Infection Toolkit, developed by the Quality Improvement Team. This is now the third toolkit that we've developed. First one was avoiding respiratory complications, then transfusion management, and now this one. Really interesting, when we first released these, we didn't really know what the uptake would be and whether or not sites would be using it. But now, we routinely get messages from sites sharing how they've used these toolkits to help them as quality improvement tools within their institution. So we want to encourage all sites that are looking at surgical site infections within their practices and strategies to reduce them to download the Surgical Site Infection Toolkit and to start to look at it. I've spoken to many of you today on the collaboration with the American Board of Anesthesiology awarding MOCA Part 4 credits for those that are getting emails, and this has probably been our most widely popular program related to provider feedback. I think now over 350 anesthesiologists around the country are participating in it. It's a very straightforward way to get 25 MOCA Part 4 points, and it's, I would say, like, finely integrated or keenly integrated into the provider feedback process. And so if a provider gets an email, select a button, the MOCA button takes them to the attestation page, which allows them to both review their flagged cases as well as attest to that. We collect those attestments over a 12-month period and then inform the ABA that the provider has gone through this process and award up to 25 points. So very seamless. And I've done it, and so I know it works, and would encourage any site that's getting emails to share this with their providers. So that's a little bit about, you know, what we've done in the past year, working with all of you. I think it's been a productive year. Certainly many things to focus on in the future, and I just wanted to touch on a couple of those this afternoon. First thing, measures. And so, you know, we now have 28 measures on the dashboard meant to provide feedback at both a provider level. I think next year we'll see a little bit of a shift in focus to measures that we can address at the systems level. And so, you know, especially now that we're sort of freed from the shackles of MIPS and QCDR and having to build measure specs and thresholds based on, you know, acceptable performance, we can now look at building measures based on what we think is absolute best practice. And I think we can start to, whether that's in glycemic management, sustainability, blood pressure management, transfusion management. And so I start to see that shift in measure building over the next year allow us to take a few more risks than we've had in the past because we're not submitting the data to CMS or other entities that are looking at provider-specific performance. Sachin Mehta talked a little bit about the evolution of our attribution philosophy, you know, from failed cases to flagged cases. We want to get providers in the habit of case review. You know, what happened to the patients that I provided anesthesia on in the last week or the last month? And instead of thinking about it from a personal, I failed or I passed, to what are things that I can glean from the anesthetic record by looking at measure performance data and the case that was associated with it. And so I think you'll start to see those themes as we start to build measures. And we have plenty of room in our existing domains of care, whether it's glycemic management, where we can extend the data to the PACU and to the pre-op area, or maybe start to separate appropriate glucose checking from appropriate glucose treatment. We have opportunities in transfusion management, in respiratory management, where we can take advantage of some of the work that was done on the research end in building a respiratory complications phenotype to build a measure off of respiratory complications, which I think will be possible, especially now that we're getting some data from the PACU. Look at practical operational issues like Sugammadex usage that I think many of you would find interesting. Certainly we would at the University of Michigan. Hypotension, if we start to think of hypotension as an outcome, apply some risk management, which again is similar to the measure that's being built by the Cleveland Clinic and Mathematica. And then in sustainability, as Jody mentioned, start to think about the global warming footprint of our anesthetic agents. So instead of looking at just fresh gas flow, you know, provide a global warming footprint number that hospitals and providers can look at. Having said that, this is the current dashboard. You know, I had to zoom out to 33% to get the entire dashboard on a single screen. And I think even with my, newly purchased reading glasses, I still can't make it out. I think it's become clear that we sort of need a different strategy in how we present the data to you. One of the major software development initiatives, and there aren't many, largely because, as Sachin talked about, we want to work with what we have. There's a lot of room for innovation with our existing infrastructure. But one of the major initiatives for next year we'll be working on a sort of dashboard 2.0, a dashboard that enables a little bit more flexible visualization of measures, provided in maybe some more visually interesting ways, that is linked natively to other MPOG applications like DataDirect or like the Concept Browser or Phenotype Browser or Measure Specifications, in a way that's a little bit more seamless than it is now. I think we have 4 years of experience, 5 years of experience in how people are looking at measures, what works, what doesn't work. We want to start to sort of build upon that experience and start to work on a dashboard 2.0 that gives sites a lot more flexibility in how they look at the data and potentially how they slice and dice the data as well. So look for that next year. Look for some requests for feedback as we start to build it into what works well and what doesn't work well. One of the things that we've talked about a little bit at the Aspire Quality Committee meetings is measure maintenance. This is going to be another area where we ask for your help, especially the quality champions around Aspire. Specifically, we need to sort of get in the habit of regularly looking at our measure specs and making sure they're still relevant. Retire measures that are no longer relevant. Modify measures that need to be modified. We think, kind of decided on this Q3 year cadence of that, and we'll be asking quality champions around the country sort of help in that effort to take a subset of measures at a given point in time to review and provide feedback on what we need to do next with them. So I want to thank you in advance for saying yes to that request. A couple of things that we touched upon earlier. Case Viewer has undergone a major, major revision, in fact, a complete overhaul, and it will be part of our upcoming release next month. It enables the QI mission by allowing just targeted views to data based on specific measures and cases that are being reviewed. You're all going to get that with the upgrade that's happening just in the next couple of weeks. We look forward to your feedback. Of note, we're going to still keep the old case viewer alongside the new case viewer for a short period of time to work out the kinks in the new case viewer and to gather your feedback and implement your feedback, but we are really looking forward to your thoughts. We're super excited about using it at the Coordinating Center as well. And then DataDirect is getting an upgrade as well. Mike Mathis is going to talk about that at 3:30 here. So Mike Mathis's roundtable will occur in this rectangular space here, and Kate Beeler will be talking about new sites, and Meredith Bailey will be talking about pediatric implementations next door at the roundtable. speaking of pediatric sites, we're going to sort of renew our pediatric and obstructive anesthesiology subgroups. I've already spoken with many of you. I'll be speaking with more of you during the course of this weekend on how do we partner with sites that are interested in pediatric and OB anesthesia. How do we partner with the specialty organizations, SPA and SOAP and others? How do we identify the appropriate champions and build measures and tools that are specific for those subspecialties? We're also looking to recruit additional freestanding children's hospitals. I've had conversations with a couple of you on that as well. We definitely want that to be a focus for 2020, where we have freestanding children's hospitals who can help partner with the existing sites that are performing pediatric cases to really build out our QI infrastructure for peds anesthesia. Plan is to continue with the emails. We are, did want to briefly mention, we're working on, a really interesting study with Dr. Zach Landis-Lewis, who's a professor in the Department of Learning Health Sciences at the University of Michigan, to submit a grant to study the effectiveness of email design. So this is not whether emails are effective or not, but this is how specific components of an email, primarily focused on something that he calls tailored messaging, can affect the compliance with the measure performance. And so look to hear a little bit more about this. We've already presented it once at PCRC, and we'll start to discuss it a little bit more within the Aspire Quality Committee as well, as we sort of look to implement this as he submits the grant and hopefully gets it funded. You know, we have talked a little bit about redesigning emails. I don't think it'll happen in 2020, certainly as part of the plan are looking for, you know, email 2.0, just as we've learned from the dashboard. I think we've learned a little bit from now sending emails to, you know, close to 4,000 providers a month. I hope it's been clear that, you know, we understand that we've come a long way together over the last 4 years. We need to continue to adapt and listen to you to stay relevant and to make sure the information that we're providing is relevant for quality improvement at each of your sites. I would love to take some calculated risks in the next year with measure development. And would also need your ideas on how to do that. And so I think that would be my one request for you over the next year. With that, I want to thank everyone for their attention. That's our little corner of the world within MPOG, the first floor of Building 16 at the North Campus Research Complex. That's where it all happens. I think we have maybe just a minute or two for questions. And then we'll move on with the rest of the afternoon. Thank you, guys. Hi, Lucy.
Is it on? Lucy Everett from Mass General. So, Nirav, you and I had an email conversation about possibly the ability to build pilot measures within our own data. Mm-hmm. And there was a little bit of interest in that in a conversation at lunch and in knowing a little more about sort of what's available in that framework and what limitations are there compared to what you could do with MPOG Central data in terms of risk adjustment and that kind of thing.
Yep. Thank you, Lucy. Great question. We would love for sites to build measures locally that we can get feedback on and then apply to the rest of the group. There is a little bit of nuance to that, as you allude to. The dashboard infrastructure is all central. However, everyone has a local MPOG database, and that local MPOG database contains just about everything you need to build a measure locally. So I think, you know, the methodology is to use your MPOG local database to build the measure. We can supply some basic development details and information to help sites do that. I think the idea would be to test it locally, build it locally. If it's something that makes sense, that works locally and we think would be of benefit across MPOG sites, then we would take what you've learned and apply that to the coordinating center database, which we can then share in Galileo in our dashboard. Having said that, I think that's one of the biggest pieces of feedback that I feel like, you know, that we need to incorporate into Dashboard 2.0, which is an easy way to incorporate site-specific or local measures into the existing dashboard. I don't think we have a great way of doing that right now, and I think that's been one of the reasons why we haven't seen more of it. Good. All right, thank you.